This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs and printed copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
Is your Christianity theoretical or a personal way of life? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We invite you to stay tuned. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you, the resurrected, risen Christ, that you come to speak to your disciples of old, but you also come to speak to us today. Grant that we may take your words seriously as you utter these words, "As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." That's the commissioning for every one of your children who believe in you as Savior and Lord. Grant, O God, that the sermon this day may help us with this particular cause. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends in Christ, it was Easter Sunday evening in Jerusalem, and the disciples of our Lord were behind closed doors, for they were afraid of the Jews and what the Jews might do to them. As they were sitting there visiting with one another, there appeared in their midst our Lord Jesus Christ. As he stood there with them, he showed them his hands, the nail-pierced hands, and then he showed them his side where they had put the sword in, just to remind them that he was the crucified, but now the resurrected Jesus Christ. He had completed his work and was about to go back to the Father in eternity, in heaven. But before he went, he wanted this commissioning service with them. And so he said, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." We have walked together for 3 years. You have heard me preach many a time. You have heard me teach the people who came to me. You've seen the anger that was dispelled towards me. You've seen me perform miracles. You've seen me try to lift the burdens of people. You've seen them turn their backs and walk away from me. There have been good days, and there have been bad days. But we have been drawn closer together in our relationship with one another. Now then, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them their sins, they are not forgiven. That's the task that is before you. I had a telephone call a few days ago from my grandson. He has graduated from the University of Wisconsin Medical School and spent 2 of his 3 years of residency in pediatrics. Only 1 year left. And so I asked him, how's it going? He said, as I get closer to the end of my training, per se, he said, I get just a little bit afraid. You know, you can know it and know it very, very well. But when you go out there and start doing it, it is something different. And do I have it well enough that I can be a good doctor? I think I do, he said, but I'm a little bit squirmish about the whole thing. And I shared with him my same feelings. We sat in college, we sat in a seminary, and had professors who were concerned about us and wanted us to become good pastors and to proclaim the gospel. And now, after they had gone over the curricula, they said, it's time for you to go out. You are to go out and stand in that pulpit and preach. You are to administer to the sick, to bury the dead, to marry the young, to instruct the children and confirm them. And I was just a little bit squirmish. You know, now I would be alone, just God and me. No one else to support or help me. Oh, once in a while I'll go to an older pastor and say, how do you handle this or how do you handle that? I think it's true of any person's work. It's one thing to be set in a school training for something. It's another thing to go out and to do it. Well, that's the setting with our Lord Jesus on that Easter Sunday Eve in the city of Jerusalem. Here he comes. But now he is telling them that they have the power to forgive and to retain sins. This is a doctrine that we don't hear very often in our churches, at least I hadn't used it very much. But perhaps it is a very, very important one that we spend some time on this morning. It is a doctrine of the power of the keys. In Matthew 16, verse 19, our Lord Jesus Christ had said to his disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus turned and said to him, blessed are you, Simon, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father who is in heaven. I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock, meaning his confession, not Peter himself, but the confession, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, this portion of Scripture, which deals with the power of the keys, could be interpreted as being given only to Peter. But that was not the case at all. Over in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, there is another incident. They were discussing the matter of what would happen if a brother sinned against you. And Jesus is talking to them. And finally he gets down to this, I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now that was given to the disciples. He was speaking to the disciples at that particular time. So here you have a second emphasis on the keys, the office of the keys. And then our text today again refers to that very same thing when, as I have quoted to you already, Jesus says to them, whatever you forgive is forgiven. Whatever you retain is retained. So here we have what is known as the absolution. Christians are to pronounce in God's name and by His Spirit the message of the forgiveness to all who believe in Jesus. They are also to retain sins to warn the people that sin is a serious, deadly disease, and to remain in it will bring death. Those are the words of our Lord. They are to rebuke. The church is to rebuke, not because they don't like people or they are seeking power or prestige for themselves, but because this is God's message to a muddled, confused, and still rebellious world. That has been penned by Tom Wright, a distinguished English Bible teacher. And I love to hear it said. The church is to rebuke, not because they don't like people. In other words, we are to stand there in that pulpit and say that if you die outside of Jesus Christ, you're lost. That is not because we don't like people or that we are seeking power or prestige for ourselves, that we could be a holy Joe running around. But it's a general principle of our Lord. It's the teaching of the Scriptures, which is our only authority. It's our teaching of the Scriptures that is to be conversed and brought to a muddled, confused, and still rebellious world. Now, I think it is easy for us to say, we can kindly come to people and say, your sins are forgiven. And that's a joyous time. But there is also this of the retention of sin. If a person will not confess his sin, if a person will not turn to Jesus Christ, and he still is wondering what he shall do with this confused state of mind, you can only say, until you have let go of that sin and put it at the foot of the cross, there is no forgiveness, there is no peace, you're lost. And again, a person would say, but how can you come to somebody and do that? And St. Paul has said, none of us but God enables us to do it by His Spirit. None of us have a right to retain sins, but by the Spirit of God. And there we only act in God's presence, the office of the keys. And so on a Sunday morning, we can receive the absolution. I once heard of a man who said after a church service, the sermon wasn't very much, but it will be better next week, I pray. The hymns were wonderful. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. This is a wonderful, wonderful message to hear through the means of music. But he said, I not only sing the hymns, but I receive the absolution. The absolution that says, in the name of Christ, your sins are forgiven. And then he said, thirdly, as I am about to leave, I receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. What a blessing. So you're blessed as you leave. You are absolved as a part of the service. You make your confession before the absolution. And you sing the glorious, glorious hymns. That's what we call the public absolution in liturgical churches, or in less liturgical churches, I find them saying we have a statement of pardon. For all want to hear, liturgical or not, we want to hear that in Jesus Christ we are pardoned. And his church has been given that privilege to assure people that they are pardoned. So it's a glorious thing to go to church if you can hear those three elements, the hymns, the absolution, and the benediction. And then much more blessed if you can hear a sermon true to the word. But there is also such a thing as private absolution. That is where, when things are really bothering, you can come to a person and say, let me tell you what's on my heart. That person, without a doubt, is trusting you as a brother or a sister in Christ. There's something that she has done, and she cannot get herself to go and tell the person, but she wants to have confession and absolution. I can assure you that there were many, many, many of those cases that I had when I served that church. I recall one lady coming in and saying, I have something that I've carried on my soul for years, years, and years, and I don't know what to do with it. And I said, well, if you care to share it with me, I'll be very happy to listen. And she told me that prior to her marrying her husband many years ago, she had a relationship with another man, and they had been sexually intimate. But she said, I have never shared that with my husband, and it's a block that is between us. So we began to talk about it and what she should do. I said to her, don't you think the first place is to just get your husband and share with him alone? And if you cannot do it alone, I or some Christian friend will come to be with you. Oh, she said, I can't do that. And I said, this must be done, or the sin is not forgiven. Well, finally, she had the power to go and do that. And then she came to my study, and she said, oh, I feel so much better. I really feel better. My husband was understanding. He said, we will not deal with that anymore. That has been forgiven. But to assure me that Jesus has forgiven me, will you give me a private absolution? And so there in my study, I placed my hand on her head, and I declared, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I declare unto you the forgiveness of your sins. Christ has atoned for them. You are free. Go and sin no more. That lady became an entirely new person. It's a wonderful thing to be able to bring all of our cares, our problems, and all the rest that go with it to the Lord Jesus. There is much talk about guilt complexes in our day, as psychology takes on a new sort of emphasis. And we say that we have to work through our guilt complexes. And I think that is true also, because we know that we need to talk to other people about what we have done that wasn't right. After we have done that, we then need to lay it before the throne of grace. And if those counselors, who are much better trained than I ever was, can help you walk through those problems, then I think you should use them. They are God's gift to us. I have sent many people to counselors just that they could walk through where they have been. But I never wanted to leave it at the place. I felt that somewhere along the way, there was another frosting to put on the cake. And then I would come back to her and say, because Jesus has died for your sin, it is forgiven. It is gone. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your transgression from you. We live with that confession on a daily basis, for we sin on a daily basis. We live with the absolution. My sin is forgiven, and therefore I am able to say with those of old, in Jesus Christ, I am God's forever. Amen. Lord Jesus, help us to understand the need of confessing our sin, those intimate sins that have found their way back into the innermost part of our being. Grant that we may come forth with it, making no excuses, but simply saying, just as I am without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me. Then grant, Heavenly Father, that we may hear you say, on the basis of what I have done for you, I will declare unto you the forgiveness of your sin. There are so many, O God, who have no assurance of their salvation, who live day by day trying to deal with their sins on an individual, humanistic basis, trying to atone for them by living a good life. We know that that is not possible. One sin cannot blot out another. But grant, O God, that we may see the complete need of being that child, humbly bowing before the throne of grace. So for your love and for your gospel, grant, O God, that we may truly, truly understand that love, that redemptive love, which is found in Jesus Christ our Lord. Be with those who are sick, the sorrowing, the suffering, and the dying. Be with those who listen from prison cells. Grant them to know that life can start again in Christ Jesus our Lord. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. Will you join with me in praying the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's message had brought you perfect peace that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. You may find hundreds of sermons in print and audio form on our website at christiancrusaders.org. We invite you to share Christian Crusaders with a friend, relative, or neighbor. By making more people aware of this ministry, we can share the word and spread the light of the gospel so no one walks in darkness. Christian Crusaders is also now on Facebook. Look us up and become a Facebook fan of the ministry and help share the good news through the use of social media. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit, listener-supported ministry dedicated to serving the spiritual needs of all who are unable to attend worship in the church of their choosing and all others who have the need to listen. We thank all who support us with prayers and gifts. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, speaker on Christian Crusaders. It's now in its 75th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.